Grace came up to me last week, and she said, I heard you talking about staying away from people, and she's like, Grace was like, and I really appreciated your question last week, Grace. Grace was like, should we stay away from people? Like, I mean, are we called to stay away from people? Is that what should we be doing? And so this is what she was hearing. It's like, there's a group of people, and they have these certain qualities about them, but, shouldn't we go to talk with those people and connect with them? And here's what she was talking about. If you guys remember from last week, you read this passage. It was Paul talking to Timothy, and he's talking to him about the situation that Timothy's in. He says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and have no self-control. And remember, we talked a little bit about the last days this past Sunday. We talked about how the last days are basically the time from, typically in the Bible, talking about the time from when Christ ascended, Holy Spirit came down, until he returns. And we are in the last days now. He goes on to say, they will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And here's what she was referring to. She heard this, stay away from people like that. And she's like, but wait a second. Shouldn't we be engaging people like that? Shouldn't we, like, go, since we know Christ and Christ has made a change in our lives, shouldn't we go and talk with people and be, like, excited about the good news? And I said, Grace, what we always want to think about, and Grace hadn't been here for the past whole series of Timothy, I was like, what we always want to think about when we look at a passage, we always want to look at what's the context. What is Paul talking about? What is the kind of the background of the message? And so I said, yeah, it's true. Paul directly says, stay away from people like that. But the context is that, again, if you guys remember, there were leaders in the church. There were leaders in the church who Paul's writing this letter to Timothy to say, be careful, Timothy. I want you to be in this church, correct this church, love this church, care for this church, make sure this church is doing okay, because there's been some leaders that have been leading the church astray. And so this is why I'm writing you this letter, to encourage you to stay in this ministry, to continue on, to make sure that you continue in your walk, that you don't give up, that you don't throw in the towel, that you don't just leave your post and let this church fall apart. And so here's what he's talking about. In 1 Timothy, the letter prior to this, Paul says, some have rejected these. And what he's talking about in the prior passage is faith and a good conscience. So have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan not to blaspheme. So he's like, look, here's the situation, Timothy. I've already, there were some people that were teaching some things that were not right, not along the lines of the Bible. They were leading people astray. And so I've actually excommunicated them. I've actually had them go, okay, fine, if you're not going to follow Jesus Christ and his word, and you've rejected that completely, and you're teaching the rest of the church to go the opposite way to follow, then I'm going to hand them over to Satan, and, I'm going to allow, if they want to go that way, they can go that way, basically. And sometimes even God does it. Sometimes even God goes, look, if you're going to follow that way, I'll allow you to. Go ahead if you want to follow that way. Do you have a question? Why is the church so important? That church is not any more important than any other church, Dylan. It's like God's people, It's like this church. This church is not a Willow Creek, or it's not a mega church, but it doesn't matter. The people here are important, right? The people, because they're God's people. And so it doesn't matter how big the church is, it's like, Paul's like, Timothy, I want you to love these people, take care of these people, make sure they're okay, hold on, questions, bring these questions to me, hold on to that question, okay, Thomas? Don't forget it and ask me, okay? So here's another one. Here's the one that's in the book that we're reading right now, 2 Timothy. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus, again, that same guy, and a new guy, Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. All right, and so we talk about the resurrection. First I was like, what? The resurrection has already happened. Jesus Christ has already been resurrected. But what they're talking about, I think what Paul's talking about is what they've been teaching is that, you know, again, we know that our bodies will be resurrected at the end. We know at the very end times we'll be raised up again. Even if we're in the grave, we'll be raised up and we'll have new bodies, new life with Jesus Christ. Our it'll be fully expressed. And so he's saying, I think they've been teaching. And what I understand is that they're already teaching that's already happened, you know. And so they're getting ahead of themselves. Kind of like the teaching that I was telling you about in this area where they said, look, we've already been perfected. We can't sin anymore. We've already been perfected. So don't even worry about it. It's impossible for you to sin. It's not true, all right? So this is the stuff that's been kind of been spreading around. And Paul's making sure that that Timothy has it right, and that Timothy's going to stay in. But Grace's question was, shouldn't we stay away from people like that? And Paul's saying, yes, you need to stay away from people like that. Based on the context of the letter, why he's writing, he's like, yeah, when it comes to leaders like this, when it comes to people who show themselves, who will act religious but reject the power that could make them godly, those who become, who put themselves as religious, as faith, but reject Jesus Christ, the power that could make them godly, he's like, don't even go there. Like, go ahead and just stay away from those people. Of course, we need to keep the whole counsel of God in mind. Whenever we're looking at a passage, we know that in Matthew 28 that Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations. We know that we're supposed to go out and mix it up with people. We're supposed to go out there and make disciples, make Christ followers. But in this case, this particular case, Paul's saying, like, just don't mix it up. Grace also had a good question. Well, should we never talk with any of those leaders that, like, kind of go off the deep end? And here's how I answered her. I said, look, sometimes if you hear me or if you hear Pastor Huang or, you know, preaching something that just doesn't quite jive with you, like, it's like, I don't think that's right. Sure, like, come up and talk with me. There's times when we should go to our leaders and go, wait a second, I just read the other day about this passage, and it doesn't seem that, like, what you were preaching about fits. So can I just ask you some questions about it? That's appropriate, right? And then there's other times in the Bible where we see Jesus going, he says to some of the leaders of the times, you guys are whitewashed tombs. You are putting, he says to the Pharisees at one point, you guys are whitewashed tombs. You're piling these rules upon laws upon people. And he lays into the leaders. So there's times in our lives when we're like, we just need to go gently to our leaders and say, I just have a few questions. And there's other times that we need to just stay away, right? We just need to go a different direction, all right? But what I asked last week is, you know, what are we supposed to do with this stuff? We hear all this stuff. Remember, I gave you all those statistics about where the United States is going and this is kind of trends in the culture of how towards the end times we see all these things. And specifically, we hear about, you know, different people that are leading people astray. But what are we supposed to do with that? You know, like, this is kind of, I said, like, last week, it's kind of a downer message. It's kind of like a, whoa, like, this is kind of a downer message. Like, we have all these people that are prideful, disobeying their parents, ungrateful. Like, this is kind of a discouraging message. Like, what are we supposed to do with that when we leave here? And I said, well, at least at one thing, one thing Paul told us is stay away from people like that. It's the only one thing that we gave. Today, this morning, I want to give you three more pieces of wisdom that Paul gives about, okay, what are we supposed to do with this stuff? You just told us all this stuff. What are we supposed to do with it now, okay? So I want to give you kind of three practical pieces of wisdom of how to follow when it comes to living in these last days that we're in. Because, you guys, we are in this is the last phase before Christ comes back. Things are going to get pretty hairy here. there's going to be actually, the way it sounds from Scripture, more religion's going to come up. More people are going to be religious. We talked a little bit about spirituality. So there's going to be a lot of religion flying around. How do we, what kind of pieces of wisdom can we take with us in these last days? Okay, hold on to your question, okay, Tony? You guys have questions. Just hold on to them, all right? Don't forget them, all right? All right, so let's take a look at the passage that we have this morning, 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. See what God has to say through Paul. He says, "You, however," or I'll just read it up here. I think I have it up here. You know what? Let me just finish off the passage right before. It says this. They are the kind who work their ways into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by many desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they never understand the truth. And these teachers fight the truth just as Johnny's and Jambres fought against Moses. Their minds are depraved, and their faith is counterfeit. He's again talking about the leaders that led them astray, this church astray. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as it happened with Johnny's and Jambres back in Exodus, okay? And so, leaving that passage, we move on to verse 10 that says this, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Okay? All right? So here's the first piece of wisdom kind of that comes out of what we just read in this last passage. All right? First is to follow godly leaders. Okay? Follow godly leaders. That's the first thing. What Paul is doing is he just talked about these two guys. He talked about two guys, and their names is Jannes. I don't know how to pronounce it. Jambres. In Exodus. And those were the two guys. If you guys remember in Exodus when Moses went to the Pharaoh and he brought Aaron with him, and he was like, "Let my people go." And remember what happened? They tossed their staves on the ground and like they turned into snakes. And there was two guys. There were two guys that were in the Pharaoh's court, who when Aaron tossed his staff onto the ground, those two guys, one of the two or both of them maybe, and Aaron's staff turned into a snake. These two guys threw their staff onto the ground and it turned into a snake. And so it's like these guys had. Johnny's and Jambres had power. You guys, if you were to go in there and you were to be there and they tossed their staff onto the ground, you could say, "Look, these guys have power. These guys have, like, they just made a staff turn into a snake." But you remember what happened is that Aaron's snake or Moses' snake, that the staff that turned into a snake ate up those guys' snake, you know, and so kind of show, like, just that God was more powerful. But the thing is that they had power. They were religious. They were like, We can call on power too, right? But Paul is saying, "I am not like these guys. I am not like these guys because Timothy, you know about my teaching. You know about my life. You know about my purpose. You know about you've seen me, Timothy. You know what I'm about. You know how I live, right?" And so what it is. He's kind of contrasting these two guys, these two turkeys here, with Paul. Paul's contrasting himself with these two guys and saying, "Look, if you want to live in these end times, one of the things you need to do is to make sure that you follow godly leaders, Timothy. Make sure you follow godly leaders." All right? These teachers oppose the truth, like these two guys oppose Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. It was counterfeit. Right, and so here's the things you guys can look for. All right, marks of godly people we should follow. All right, they have nothing to hide. Right, they have nothing to hide. You know how Paul says, "You know how I live." You know how I live, Timothy. They teach the truth. You know what I teach. They practice what they preach. You know my faith, patience, love, and endurance. Look, so I know, like, when you, I'm thinking, like, when you guys, when you go off to college, or and you're looking for a church, or Lord willing, you know, you go off to college, and then God moves you to another city, and you're looking for a church. Like, what is it that you look for once you go in? What do you look for when it comes to leaders when you go into that church? And one of the things is, like, you know about them. You know the leaders. And I know, like, when you're visiting a church, when you're church, you know, church shopping, I know it's, like, impossible to kind of, like, you sit under a person's teaching and you kind of look, you hear what they're saying. Sometimes it's a big church. Sometimes it's, like, you know, there's, like, 400, 500 people in there. So it's kind of hard to get to know the pastor really personal. But you should have some sense of the pastor. You should have some sense of, like, people who know the pastor say, like, yeah, he, you know, the pastor lives it out, you know, lives it out. And, of course, you guys, you know that, like, no pastor's going to live it perfectly, you know. Paul himself is in the scriptures say, like, there's times when he says, look, I there's things that I want to do that I don't do, things that I don't do that I should be doing. Paul, like him, says, I'm the chief sinner of all. So he knows he doesn't live it out perfectly. So we know that, look, when we're looking at pastors, when you're looking at me, we know that I don't live it out perfectly yet. But one thing you should be looking for is that overall, is what they're preaching, are they walking that out as a whole? Are they walking that out as a whole? I talked with a guy who just went off to college, and a student here, and I asked him, like, hey, remember how Bill Schumann, he's like, in our senior send-off, he's like, within, like, 4 weeks, you should come down on, like, finding a church. You know, you should find a home church by, you shouldn't, like, it's great. Go ahead and look around at different churches, experience what it's like, but after 4 weeks, you should find something. And so I asked this guy, I'm like, hey, did you find a church family where you're at to worship? He's like, yeah, I did. He's like, there's a pastor. I really like the message. I know this pastor is married. He's got a couple daughters. They're really cute, you know, just really cute girls. And the place is it's called The Journey. The place that he goes is called The Journey. And I'm like, okay. And so you guys, I'll tell you exactly what it, like, I went online and I looked up The Journey. Like, I just wanted to go see, like, where's this guy going? You know, I want to see what they believe, what their theology is. Because you guys, whenever you go to a church in college, when you go off and God moves you to some place, you want to know, what are their beliefs? The pastor's up there preaching. And sometimes, you guys, I'm telling you, sometimes the preacher will sound very similar, just like the guys that Paul mentions, Hymenaeus and Philetus, these guys will sound similar, but you have to know what the word says, and you have to know what they're actually preaching, because there's a lot of pastors out there that will sound like they're from God, they're teaching the Bible, but they're not actually teaching the Bible, okay? All right? And then one last marking, they'll understand that suffering comes with following Jesus. You know my sufferings and my persecution, all right? So, guys, I just want you to consider, not only with pastors, but people who you follow, are they godly? Are they walking? Are they living it out? And are they all in line with the Bible, okay? Are they in line with the Bible? Follow godly leaders is one piece of wisdom in living in these last days, okay? Here's a second one. Yeah. Continuing what you've learned. Look with me in verse 14. It says this, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, okay? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All right? So the second piece of counsel that Paul gives Timothy is extremely practical. You guys, it's extremely practical. It's just stay the course that you're in. In these last days, there'll be times I share with you about the story of this church in this area where there was at least four who like grew up in the church, but then heard an alternative teaching to what was in the Bible, and they went off course. They totally went off. And the pastor went to them and pleaded with them, like, let's sit down and look at the Bible together. Let's go through it together, and we'll walk through it together. And they're like, nope, we don't care. We don't want to, you know, and they just rejected it. And it just breaks me. It breaks my heart. But continue to stay in what you've been taught in a sound biblical church, because there's going to be philosophies out there that sound similar and feel attractive. I remember I was dropping my sister off. This was a number of years ago. My sister went to University of Minnesota, and so I remember dropping my sister off at the University of Minnesota, like helping her pack and unpack and like put her stuff in her dorm. And I was going to park the car. I went away for a little while, and I was walking back to her dorm. And this is the beginning of the school year. This is fall. And so, you know, in the fall, everyone's like, hey, come join our club. Come join us for this. And, like, there's people out on the streets just, like, handing you different stuff. And so a couple of guys, I was walking back to my sister Kelly's, her dorm, and a couple guys come to me and is like, hey, would you like to come over for dinner, like, later, like, this weekend, you know? And I'm like, what is this? And so I grab it, and I explain to them, like, I'm not going to here. I'm just dropping my sister off. And, you know, and it's just this brochure about, you know, just a Bible study and stuff like that. And I was just curious. And it great. I'm like, hey, so where are you guys from? What organization or what church are you from? And they're like, oh, we're from the LDS. We're from the LDS church. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I knew right away kind of where they were coming from, right? The LDS stands for Latter-day Saints, right? It stands for Church of Latter-day Saints. And when I was a kid, I lived in Idaho when I was a kid, which you guys kind of know. And also, I had grandparents in Utah. And so every summer, I lived in Idaho, and every summer when we lived in other places, other states, we'd drive back to visit my grandparents in Idaho, my grandparents in Utah. And so throughout my life, I've had a lot of interaction with the Church of Latter-day Saints. And I've got to tell you guys that all the families, because even growing up in Idaho, there was a group of a family that lived across from our apartment, and they were from the LDS Church. And man, I love these guys, and I just enjoyed their family so much. And there's been times when I've been flying back to Salt Lake City, because I fly into Salt Lake City throughout the years, going to visit my family. And sometimes I'll be on the plane, I'll be reading my Bible, and I'll look over, and there was someone else, there was another guy reading his Bible. I'm like, hey, you know, like, hey, what are you reading? You know, like, so we started talking, and then I realized, like, whoa, wait, he's from the LDS Church. And so, the thing is that, man, it's like, when I got that invitation, I probably would have gone, you know, but I've got to say that there's pretty significant differences, you guys, pretty significant differences in what some different faiths and religions believe in. Some different faiths and religions believe in. Here's an example. Here's an example. So here's what it is. Here's just one example of the Latter-day Saints, is that they believe in like kind of three different kingdoms or heavens. You know, the celestial kingdom. If you live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ and are cleansed from sin and the atonement, you'll receive a place in this highest kingdom where you live in God's presence and know complete joy. There's another kingdom. People who refuse to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, but who live honorable lives and receive a place in the terrestrial kingdom. Okay, so there's people that refuse. And then there's the celestial kingdom. Those who continue in their sins, do not repent after they've died, will eventually receive a place in the celestial kingdom. So it's just a big, you guys, when I talk with those who are LDS, it's like there's a lot of things that we have in common. There's a lot of things that we have in common and dialogue with them about that. But there's also a big break from what scriptures teach, because they also have the Book of Mormon, right? Sarah and I, a number of years ago, we went to visit the tabernacle in Salt Lake. So Sarah and I were coming back from vacation. We were going to fly out the next day, and we're like, let's just go downtown Salt Lake City and just explore and stuff like that. And so we ended up going to the temple and took a tour there. And it was really wild, because the narrative, the story that they give about the Mormon faith in the United States, so like they believe that Jesus came to the Americas, was in the Americas, and so forth, and that the people in America, in the United States, was really similar to the story of Exodus. It was really weird, because we took this tour, and they would share with us, and we went to a museum, and there's a group of people walking through the museum that had, like, you know, different displays and so forth, and Sarah and I just, like, kind of, like, tagged along with. We're like, okay, we'll just join this group. And the person who was giving the tour was like, you know, she was explaining the story, and I'm like, Sarah was like, this sounds like the story of Exodus, you know? This sounds like someone took Exodus and, like, made it into an American story, and then, like, and so it was like the Bible with a slight twist in it. And so this is how it will be, you guys. This is why I'm encouraging you to continue in what you've learned, because out there, there's Bible out there with slight twists in it that move away from Christ Jesus, okay, and move away from the gospel that you guys have learned, okay? And he encourages Timothy. He says, Timothy, like, stay with this because continue in what you've learned and been convinced of, because you know those whom you've learned it from. Timothy came to know Christ through his grandmother and his mother, and through Paul. It's like, you know us. You know what we're about. And for you guys, it's the same. You know the teaching. You know me. You know your parents. You know that this church is moving along with the Bible. What we want always is that we want to be corrected by the Bible. So it's not like our teaching is this way, and then we'll find in the Bible how that fits along with our teaching. Hopefully, it's always this way. It's always like, whatever the Bible says, that's where we move our teaching to. So if we find something in here that's like, oh, wait a second, I was teaching this way, but now I discover that in the Bible, it's clearly teaching this way, I want to move to where the Bible's at, right? So it's never like I have an idea of how God should be or what the Bible should say, and so then I look for in the scriptures of how that can support my ideas. It's always like I read the Bible, oh, I totally disagree with that, or it doesn't feel right. But, like, is this what the Bible's teaching? I'm going to move towards it, because that's what the Bible says, right? Okay, so stay with what you've known. Stay with the Bible. Stick with God's word, and you can't go wrong, right? Here's the last one, verses 16 through the end. It says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training for righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, all right? So in the NLT, you see all scripture is inspired by God. In the NIV, it's all scripture is God breathed. And so the word is theopneustos in the Greek. And in the NIV translation is more literal. Like God breathed, right? I mean, New Living Translation just makes it kind of easier, because we don't talk in terms of God breathed something. But the literal thing is, so it's kind of like God breathed on Moses. God, like, spoke and went through Moses, and Moses wrote out much of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. God breathed and spoke through Paul, and so Paul God breathed and inspired Paul to write this letter to Timothy, which comes to us, right? So this scripture that you're looking at now is kind of one of the highest possible views of Holy Scripture, saying, look, there really is, you'll hear out there, like, all scripture, you know, I don't know if we can kind of trust scripture, if the culture has changed things, so can we go along with scripture? But this passage here is saying, no, the Bible, it's kind of the highest view of the Bible, is that God spoke this and wrote through the writers of the Bible, right? So that's why we always got to move back to God's Word, always staying corrected by God's Word. So God's Word tells us what is right, tells us what is not right, how to get it right, and how to stay right, you guys. So these are the things that in these last days, you guys, in these last days, and I want us to keep these things in mind, because Paul is telling Timothy, look, you're going to come up against some religious leaders. I've excommunicated a couple, but there's always going to be people out there. There's always going to be people out there that is kind of moving or drawing you away from Christ. So these are the couple of things that I want to share with you, is follow godly leaders, continue what you've learned, and let the Word of God make you complete. I tell you, again, I say this almost every weekend, but I just feel like it's so important. If you can make it, like I know some of you just can't drive, so you just can't make it. But in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in Sunday school. We're going to be talking about quiet times. Okay, so today, what we did last weekend is I gave our group an article to read about quiet times, kind of the basics of quiet times, what it is, how to carry out a quiet time. So this morning we kind of discussed it, had a good discussion of like, I disagree with this, agree with this. But we're talking about quiet times. So next week we'll be doing the same. Next 2 weeks we'll be focusing on how do we walk out quiet times? How do we meet with God so that, again, all that we've talked about, you guys can get rooted in God's Word in these last days, okay? Let me close us in prayer, and we can respond with song, okay? Oh, Lord, we thank you for Paul's encouragement and teaching and warning to Timothy that you inspired him to write. Lord, as we look around in our culture, we see times are changing. Things are moving. And Lord, we solidly believe that you're going to be returning at some point soon. We see just kind of echoes and kind of precursors to your return. And so, Lord, I pray that we would go forward just kind of being sober and serious and ready for your return, and ready for these last decades before your return. Father, I pray that you'd remind us to both, like, to follow godly leaders, and also for ourselves as well to walk out the faith, to be connected with you, to remain in you. Lord, I pray that we go forth this week just desiring more of you, hungering for more of you, to meet with you, to love you, to connect with you, to worship you, to know your Word, to know you, and to obey you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.